The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Sometimes it's better to have a good judge than a good case, and they got themselves a beauty.
There's something very fishy about how Judge Mershon came to preside over this case. There are 24 sitting judges who were supposed to be randomly selected from to take this case. Judge Mershon wasn't even on the list of judges. He's an acting judge. And he's not just a Biden donor. Judge Mershon donated to the Progressive Turnout Project and to an organization called Stop Trump, and he never recused himself. Judge Mershon was allegedly randomly selected for the Trump hush money case, the Trump organization fraud case, and for the Steve Bannon case. This is almost statistically impossible that an acting judge, not within the pool of sitting judges, who happens to be a Stop Trump donor, is randomly selected to all three of these Trump cases within the same year. It's probably another conspiracy theory. Just like the resistance left fell in love with Fauci, Mueller, and Avenatti, they now have a man crush on Mershon.
With, as you've noted, with respect to Judge Mershon, I mean, I am like now, you know, I felt like a man crush on him. Right. He is such a great judge that it's hard to see that the jurors wouldn't have the same impression. I mean, he's just, you just keep on thinking, if you looked in a dictionary for like judicial temperament, that's what you get.
One thing in particular that this judge said that these jurors could do. He just delivered what is being called really the pinnacle of all of this. He said that there is no need to agree on what has occurred. They can disagree on what the crime was among the three choices. Thus, this means that they could split 4-4-4 and the judge would still treat them unanimously. What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, it's really outrageous because in a normal criminal case, every statutory crime has what we call elements of the offense. Like in a bank robbery case, it's, you know, you have to rob, it's got to be a financial institution, you have to show intent. Those are the things the jury has to agree on unanimously that they were proved beyond a reasonable doubt. Here, what we're doing is taking the element that actually makes this a felony, because remember, falsification of records is normally a misdemeanor in New York. What makes it a felony is that you're concealing or committing another crime. And here the judge is telling them they don't have to agree about what the other crime is under circumstances where that not only is what makes this a felony, what makes it a four-year potential prison penalty rather than a year or less, but it's also what gets us into the courtroom, because if this had been a misdemeanor, the time to bring this case would have lapsed in 2019. So the only reason they're still able to bring this case is because it's a felony, allegedly, and yet now the judge is saying, you know, you don't have to agree on what the felony is.
This jury has been spoon-fed what guilty means in a cake of vagueness and essentially said, vote with your conscience, but come to a consensus. I agree with you. I find it disheartening at a minimum, and I am now expecting a guilty verdict, because on the sheer math of it all, how can you not? The miracle of an acquittal and the common sense and accuracy that would be truly all of those jurors rising above the table as laid by this prosecution, which is so patently unfair, so patently unconstitutional, to my opinion, as to supersede anything historical.
The system is rigged against Donald Trump, as you can see there from that cold open. He's right. He's out there every day outside the courtroom telling you the truth, because so many of the talking heads in the regime media won't do it. I mean, they're beginning to distance themselves from the lawfare because they know it's failing. But still, look at how does this judge present this? He's an alternate, I think, is what Jesse said. And he's presiding over all three Trump cases in 1 year. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. So much to get to, as it's a busy news cycle, certainly here in the United States. You can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. I hope everything's working okay with the Rumble channel. Looked like there was a little trouble earlier, but in any event, if there are problems today, we've got some major thunderstorms going on, so who knows what kind of problem it could be. But if there are problems, you can get to the show after the fact on any of those two sites as well. First off, we've got to tell you that tonight in Fort Myers, Florida, we're going to be leaving for the airport right after this show so that we can be there too. But this is going to be the largest audience that we've ever had, the largest live audience that we've ever had for a Celtic Throne performance. There still are some tickets available, though. Just go to CelticThrone.com, and you can see, if you scroll down, you can see that the first selection option is Fort Myers. There's going to be another big crowd in Sarasota on Sunday night. And then following that, Jacksonville, there we go. Jacksonville, Florida. I got to remember my Florida cities. Jacksonville, Florida, that's next Tuesday night. So make sure that you go to CelticThrone.com to secure your seats for another exciting performance of Celtic Throne. So here, they'll do anything. I've got an article, I didn't get to it yesterday, but people are already thinking about, okay, what's the next plan? I mean, what's the next strategy? The lawfare's not working. What's plan B? What's plan C? What's plan D? I just saw over at Drudge, they've got some apprentice employee that's come forward and said, yeah, Trump said this, he said the N-word. I mean, they are relentless, the radical left. It's a communist attack on the United States of America. America is under attack, as we've been saying since 2013. That's 11 years. They're not going to stop. They're not, even if this case, and of course, there's plenty of people saying they may get a guilty verdict, no matter the fact that there's no evidence. I mean, the jury, they can decide what crime has been committed here. And as long as they decide, even if it's a different crime from one jury member to the next, they can somehow get a guilty verdict. Does that sound like the way the founders drew it up in the United States of America? This is shocking to witness. What an audacious assault on the system of justice in the United States of America. And yet, as you know, Donald Trump will not surrender. You can see why Eric Trump has such high praise for his father. We played the clip for you yesterday. He's a man of courage. He's a man of strength and fortitude. He will not back down, and good for him. You can see why he has such widespread support among Americans. And then you look at the ones that are attacking him. You know, De Niro showing up to the press conference the other day with the face mask on, 4 years on from the scamdemic. And then you've got Weissman for his part. He's drooling over Mershon. I mean, what in the world? Weissman was Mueller's pit bull, remember? So he knows a good judge when he sees it. He knows the way Mershon thinks. He knows that Mershon is get Trump all the way through. So there is Weissman on national TV drooling over Mershon. What a spectacle this is. And these people expect us to take them seriously. They hate the Constitution. They hate the United States, at least the United States that was drawn up by the founders. And they certainly hate Donald Trump, and they hate every supporter of Donald Trump. Here's Donald Trump outside the courtroom earlier this week, clip 5.
It's a Biden witch hunt, this weaponization. So it seems that there are a lot of witnesses, a lot of people that they could have called that they didn't call. Now, they didn't call them, obviously, because they would have been very bad witnesses for them. And in particular, one witness who's now suffering gravely because of what's happened, because of the viciousness of these thugs. The vicious people, what they've done to that person, and you know who I'm talking about. And they didn't call him as a witness. They didn't call anybody as a witness. And all these people, they could have called and solved the problem. The other thing, the confusion is, nobody knows what the crime is, because there's no crime. Nobody knows what the crime is. The DA didn't name the crime. They don't know what the crime is. That's what the problem is. It's a disgrace. This thing ought to be ended immediately. The judge ought to end it and save his reputation.
The judge has no reputation. The judge's reputation has already been well established. Hate Trump. Get Trump. Nobody knows what the crime is. But don't worry. If you're the communist left, the judge can march out and say, you know what? You decide what the crime is. And if it's different among the 12 jury members, that's okay. Just do anything you can to get a guilty verdict. That's what we're after here. Lawfare. War in 24. I refer you again to this issue of the Trumpet magazine, Ready for War. I mean, in the spiritual sense, we better be ready. But you look at the United States nationally, I mean, it is refreshing to see at least a few Trump and his circle of supporters, and then of course the MAGA supporters across the land that are ready for war. They're ready to fight back, they're not surrendering. When you look at the attackers, as I say, it's a relatively small group, and so many of them are just perverted and weird in the way that they think and believe. And here's De Niro the other day talking about Trump being a sinner. And now you've got the Drudge Report saying that, well, Trump said this, Trump said that. Evidently, Trump is the only sinner in the land. If you're coming from the communist left, only Donald Trump has made mistakes. These people have weaponized the DOJ. They've created crimes. They've divined crimes, as Sam covered with you earlier this week. Yeah, they can know. I mean, they know that Donald Trump is guilty. Guilty of what? Doesn't matter, says the judge. Does not matter. Just make it up. That's what we're doing. Make it up, and the 12 of you just need to decide that he's guilty. Guilty of something. That's all. President Trump was on with conservative talk show host Dan Bongino earlier this week. Here's what he had to say, clip 11.
I made the argument on my show a couple of times. You may think I'm crazy, maybe not. I think your selection for attorney general is your most important pick. Vice president's right. Obviously important, but if we get the attorney general wrong, I know you won't, but if we get that wrong after this abomination of justice and what happened to you, we're not going to have a country left. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. It's a very big choice, and I made two bad choices. Now, you know, I was loyal. Jeff Sessions, he was the first senator to endorse me. He came to me, please let me. He was begging me to do it after I won. And I was loyal, and he didn't have what it took. You know, as soon as he heard the word Russia, he ran for the hills. And Bill Barr, you know, unfortunately, and I know he endorsed me recently, so it's always tough to be, I mean, if you can believe that he endorsed me. But he was not a man of strength. He was a coward. And he was afraid to go after people on the election, cheating that went on that you know and everybody knows where the brain went on. And we're not going to let that happen again. But I wish, you know, I made two different choices there.
You know what's interesting about that clip is he says, I made two bad choices. I mean, Donald Trump's not, for all of his strengths, he's not been especially quick to admit where he's gone wrong or where he's made mistakes. But there he is. Saying, I got it wrong with Jeff Sessions. I got it wrong with Attorney General Barr. And it tells you a little, it gives us a little bit of insight into the kind of attorney general that might be installed this time around to clean this up. There's so many dirty cops. There's so many dirty judges. There's so many vicious prosecutors that put together cases that have no merit. You've got Bragg. I mean, they passed on this for seven. It's like Trump said yesterday. At the very least, if this had any merit, they should have brought it forward 7 years ago. Instead, they passed. They passed on it. The DOJ did. The court in Manhattan did. All of them did. But now, because he's running for re-election, now you see they blow the dust off this bogus case to try to get Trump. And they even get Colangelo from out of Joe Bama's DOJ system to help breathe life into it. Yeah. And then Mershon, this alternate, how does he get selected out of 24 randomly selected? I mean, this is corruption at all levels. How do you get randomly selected out of a pool of 24 judges for all three Trump cases? They'll just say, well, you're a conspiracy theorist, as Jesse pointed out. There's some real lawless activity and behavior going on behind the scenes. I mean, this is criminality at the highest of levels. These are the people, the ones going after Trump, these are the people that need to be prosecuted. And so you can see why. They're in full-scale meltdown mode. They've got to stop Trump. They don't want Trump to install an attorney general that actually upholds the law equally and fairly across the board. We've been living under a justice system that is aligned against Donald Trump and all things Trump since 2016. Probably even before that, 15. Almost 10 years. Barack Obama, the dear leader, just completely weaponized the DOJ, the FBI, the intel community, all of them. He's got the regime media supporting him. He's got the support of academia. He's got the support of Hollywood, although that's dwindling a bit. But there's Robert De Niro, spokesperson now for Joe Obama. And notice, he has to come out. He's an actor, right? So he comes out with his script and he's got to read it. He's a little bit distracted because of the protesters and the car alarms that are going on behind him. And then Donald Trump just comes out without any notes, except for when he brings the clippings from Jonathan Turley, the Wall Street Journal, all these people that are saying how bogus this case is. He'll read from that to some degree, but listen to and watch Donald Trump outside the courtroom because he's speaking from his heart. And he doesn't need a script, De Niro. He doesn't need to read it word for word. Not that that's wrong necessarily, but these people, they've got to script everything out. Scarborough, all of them. Stick to the script. This is why they all sound the same. They all go into the courtroom. You know, Lawrence O'Donnell, Joy Reid, all of them. And then they come out and they produce essentially the same script and they say the same thing every night, MSNBC, CNN, and so on. There's a few of them that are waking up to the fact that this has been a complete and total failure, this lawfare. But they're not going to stop at the end of May with 5+ months to go. So you go to the Drudge Report and you see what they're going after next. Oh, now we've got someone from The Apprentice. Isn't that from the 90s? The 1990s? You go back to the 1990s and look at what Joe Biden was doing, even politically. I mean, he was throwing minorities in prison, locking up the key and throwing away the key. And now, I mean, he's changed his tune. But look at his history. If you're concerned about someone that's too hard on criminals, that would be Joe Biden in the 1990s. Oh, yes. But see, that's over and done with. You listen to Biden yesterday, and I mean, he's talking about he was right at the forefront of the civil rights movement. Oh, yes. He just goes out and keeps lying. And nobody looks into his past. Nobody looks into the charges that women bring against him. No, it's just Trump. Okay. De Niro says Trump is the sinner. Well, there you go. Final say. So let it be written. So let it be done. It's rigged. Rigged against those that are just patriots. Those that just want to uphold traditional values. Those that want to uphold the Constitution. This is from Fox Business. The jury yesterday, they went into deliberations, then they came back out and they wanted some clarification on the judge's instructions. So I guess the jury's a little confused. After 6 weeks and 5 hours of a closing argument, imagine sitting through a 5-hour speech. by some lawyer that just hates Trump. This is from Fox Business yesterday, clip 7.
We had a long day of jury deliberations yesterday, which will continue into today. And yesterday afternoon, the jury asked for a reread of the instructions from Judge Mershon, in addition to reviewing several pieces of evidence that were presented by the prosecution and the defense in the case, which tells us that the jury is confused, just like the rest of America, of the crimes that President Trump is being charged with from this George Soros-backed prosecution.
Why would they be confused by Judge Mershon's instructions? He went on for an hour. He said, these instructions will take an hour and you will not receive copies of them. Why? Why not? You may, however, request that I read them back to you in whole or in part. So that's what they did. Yeah, some of the things you instructed us, we don't really understand it. Well, Sam read through it twice and he didn't understand it either. Your verdict, he said, on each count you consider, whether guilty or not guilty, must be unanimous. In order to find the defendant guilty, however, you need not be unanimous on whether the defendant committed the crime personally or by acting in concert with another or both. So there you go. There you go. His instructions to the jury is that you must be unanimous. However, if it's a guilty verdict, you don't need to be unanimous. What? Yeah, that's right. Those are the instructions to the jury. That's on page 26 of the transcript. You need to be unanimous, but hey, if we can get him guilty, you don't need to be unanimous. Not on whatever crime was committed. No, no. You just need to believe that he's guilty of something. Somehow, some way, somewhere. Judge says intent means conscious, objective, or purpose. Thus, a person acts with intent to defraud when his or her conscious objective or purpose is to do so. Are you getting this? Do you follow? Intent does not require premeditation. In other words, intent does not require advanced planning. Nor is it necessary that the intent be in a person's mind for any particular period of time. The intent can be formed and need only exist at the very moment the person engages in prohibited conduct or acts to cause the prohibited result, and not at any earlier time. So clear. Here's the judge that Weissman, the Mueller pit bull, has a crush on. He's got a man crush. Maybe more. On Mershon. Mershon said, under our law, although people must prove an intent to commit another crime or to aid or conceal the commission thereof, they need not prove that the other crime was in fact committed, aided, or concealed. What? This is the alternate judge that somehow landed on the bench, presiding over three Trump cases over the past, what, 8-9 months? Impossible. He was randomly selected for all the Trump cases. Judge Mershon on page 30 of the transcript. Under our law, he's an expert in law, right? He's wearing a black robe. Under our law, a person is guilty of such a conspiracy when, with intent, that conduct be performed that would promote or prevent the election of a person to public office by unlawful means, he or she agrees with one or more persons to engage in or cause the performance of such conduct. No wonder the jury came back. Judge, can you read this to us again? Because we're a little confused. Well, we are too. The rest of America is confused. But Mershon isn't. No, no, he's divined a crime. So is Weissman. So is De Niro. So is Joe Obama. The dear leader, of course, he knows there's been a crime. He knew Donald Trump was guilty of crimes the moment he came down the escalator. There were people talking about impeaching Trump before he was even inaugurated in 2017. Just try to wrap your mind around that for a moment. Impeach him for what? What did he do? He's not even president yet. But that's the way these people think. They know. They know. It's like the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians 2. They put themselves in the place of God. They've got a God complex. That's what this judge has. And they're furious that someone would dare fight back. Look, we've experienced this in our church history. The man of sin came along and he basically said, look, you submit to these changes that we're making in doctrine and policy and everything. We're just wiping out the traditions of God's church. You can read about that history in Raising the Ruins. That happened back in the late 80s, the early 1990s. As soon as God's apostle died, Herbert Armstrong, look at what these lawless ministers, they saw themselves as ministers of God. In fact, they were false ministers, false apostles. Just like what Paul described in 2 Corinthians 11. And they were sons of destruction, all of them, or at least supporting the son of destruction. What an abomination. We saw it play out across not the political landscape. We're seeing that now. The spiritual landscape. A spiritual abomination of desolation. And look at what these insurrectionists, these are the real insurrectionists. Look at what they're doing to the country, to the justice system, to the DOJ, to the Constitution. Knowledge of a conspiracy does not by itself make the defendant a co-conspirator. The defendant must intend that conduct be performed that would promote or prevent the election of a person to public office by unlawful means. You can't understand hardly any of these sentences. Who thinks like this? Who writes like this? Well, the devil does. That's who. Satan the devil is the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. And Revelation 12:9 says he's deceived the whole world. Satan loves reasoning like this. It's like my father says this in America Under Attack. With respect to the Mueller investigation and all the impeachments and so on, people look at it and they say, well, it's complicated. I mean, hopefully Weissman knows the truth of the matter. Hopefully this judge in a black robe, hopefully he knows the truth of the matter. Because for me, you know, little old me, ordinary me, I don't understand. It's confusing. They're trying to put a former president of the United States behind bars for this. Intent meets conscious objective or purpose. Thus, a person acts with the intent that conduct be performed that would promote or prevent the election of a person to public office by unlawful means when his or her conscious objective or purpose is that such conduct be performed. I can't even wrap my mind around any of these run-on sentences. Just full of divining crimes. They know, you see. They know crimes have been committed. He finally says on page 31, although you must conclude unanimously that the defendant conspired to promote or prevent the election of any person to a public office by unlawful means, you need not be unanimous as to what those unlawful means were. Yeah, just live in the gray areas. Keep in mind, this is a hush money case. What did he paid $130,000 to this woman to basically say, shut up. And this is where we are. This is where we are. Incomprehensible. Just the way the devil likes it. Oh, yes. Listen to Jonathan Turley as he talks about the jury coming back to ask questions, coming back to have the judge repeat some of his instructions. This is clip 4.
I got to tell you, as a criminal defense attorney, I would not view this as clearly good news for the prosecution. The only reason why a jury would send out a request to hear the instructions again is if there's a disagreement about what the instructions are. That indicates that there may be a conflict with jurors in that room about what their standard is, how they're supposed to look at the evidence. So I don't consider this such a clearly positive thing for the prosecution. As a defense attorney, I would welcome this type of request. They were only in there for a few hours and asked to hear the instructions again and asked to hear core testimony. The problem that Trump is having remains those instructions. They are very one-sided, and they have converted this into something of a canned hunt. You know, that what Judge Mershon has said is that you could divide 4-4-4. You could have three groups of jurors who view the facts materially differently. They could disagree as to what crime was behind this effort to falsify business records. And Mershon will still treat that as a unanimous verdict. That is pretty chilling for people that believe strongly in the criminal justice system and the very high standard of proof that's required.
So Turley thinks it's a bad sign for the prosecution, that the jury would have to come back out and say, hey, could you repeat some of these instructions? We're confused. There are others commentating, thinking it's the opposite. Byron York, he says the jury could be searching for a way to find Trump guilty without actual evidence of guilt. Tell us again, Judge. Tell us, so we really don't have to agree on anything to all vote guilty? Is that how this works? Is that how this works in the system of justice in the United States of America? We'll see. Maybe we'll find out later today. Maybe we'll find out tomorrow. We'll see what happens. In either case, this is just going to end up backfiring on the communist left, and it's going to end up helping Donald Trump. That's what we've been seeing over the last year. That's why they're hyperventilating on MSNBC. Or in the case of Scarborough, maybe pivoting, saying that, look, you know, we can't put all of our eggs in the lawfare basket. You know, we've got to get out there and put up signs in Detroit. Vote Biden. Oh, okay. So that's the strategy now? Actually get out there and campaign like presidential candidates did traditionally? They're all over the place, aren't they? You know, in these documents, the prosecutors representing Joe Obama's DOJ. That's who they're representing. Forget about Alvin Bragg. It's just a New York State thing. They're not even connect. No, no. They're getting orders from Barack Obama, the dear leader. And the government, through it all, refers to itself as the people, as if they're representing the people of America. They're not. They're the enemy of the people. Same with the regime media, as Donald Trump always said. They're the enemy of the people of the United States. You know, Donald Trump has to stay in that cold, dark building, as he often says, with the hard benches. He has to stay there until these what if the deliberations go on for another week? He's got to stay there in the courtroom or near the courtroom because it could be announced any time and he's got to be there. This is lawfare of the highest order. And as Trump says, when he comes out every time, it's election interference. I should be out campaigning. And even still, as I said yesterday, he's campaigning more than the fake president. I forget where it was. You might have seen the picture of the fake president's campaign stop yesterday. They can't even fill up a high school gymnasium. And then you've got others saying that, well, he's got 300 and, 4 years ago he had 150. This is bad news for Trump. I mean, that's laugh out loud hilarious. 300? He doesn't even get that. But their wishful thinking, their demonic thinking, it continues. Deceived. Sam went through this article with you on Monday, I believe. These men who are bringing down America are psychoanalyzing people, searching for corrupt motives. But that isn't the way the law is. It deals with clear and specific actions. And that's the underlying problem with this case from the beginning. What clear and specific criminal actions did Donald Trump take? Nobody knows. And so the judge, after 6 weeks of this show trial, the judge says to the jury, hey, you decide what the crime is. Listen, you don't have to be in agreement on that. You just need to agree that he's guilty. I mean, that is third world banana republic reasoning. Just get him, get Trump. That's the objective here. Don't get caught up in the, you know, the specific actions. Clear and specific actions, what he did or didn't do, doesn't matter. My father says, this is from 2019. If you haven't subscribed to the Trumpet magazine, make sure you call our operators today. You can get a 1 year free subscription to the magazine. No cost, no obligation. Just call 1-866-930-3024 and become a Trumpet subscriber so that you can know about tomorrow's news today. These men think they can divine whether Trump acted with a corrupt motive. That is a well-chosen word. He's quoting through William Barr's paper, commenting on this is back in 2000, I think early 2019 or 18, when he finally came to Donald Trump's defense when he saw the way the Mueller people were operating. Judge Mershon is cut from the same cloth. Yeah, it's the same strategy. You don't need evidence of criminal activity, of definite specific actions. You don't need it. You just need to divine some kind of motive or criminal activity. That's all you need to agree upon, that he's guilty. Guilty of what? Doesn't matter. You can all think something differently on that. That's what the judge instructed the jury yesterday. It says here, Mueller thinks he can perceive corrupt motives based on intuition. Again, this is going back to 2019. And then my father breaks down the meaning of that word divine, the word that William Barr used back in 2019. When he just momentarily rose in defense of Donald Trump. But he didn't stay the course. A couple years, I mean, a year and a half, what was it? All the way up to a month before the election of 2020, when he was sounding the alarm, William Barr. When he was in Wolf Blitzer's face saying, listen, Wolf, do you want to have mass mail-in ballots going all over this country? That is a recipe for disaster. That's how rampant cheating happens. And then they cheated on a mass scale, at least in the swing states. And they stole the election. And then William Barr went away quietly. How about that? What an end to a fairly good career. I don't know a lot about his career with the Bushes in the 1990s. But he seemed to be fairly solid. Just reading a few articles about him. Instead, he goes away quietly, and then he comes back quietly and says, well, yeah, I think I will vote for Trump this time around. What a disgrace. What a fraud. What, as Donald Trump said, what a coward. He wouldn't fight against this mass corrupt. Just look at what they're doing in Manhattan, what this judge is doing, what these prosecutors are doing, and think, wow, that's a lot of evil. And then you go back before the election, before 2020, you think, wow, Mueller and Weissman and the impeachments and all, that's a lot of evil. But now, 2020, surely these evil people did everything perfectly and righteously, and there was no cheating. They know there was cheating. And they know, we know, there was cheating. They know it. And yet they continue on with their big lie. Everything in 2020, perfectly fine. I suppose Bill Barr would say that to this day. There's a few that have changed their tune. Not nearly enough. Not nearly enough. They divine all these motives. My father says another definition of divine as an adjective, is of like or from God or a god. He says this too is appropriate because these men are acting as if they are God. It's just like 2 Thessalonians 2 says. They act as if they're God. They know. They know. Listen to this from the fake president. Yesterday out there, before small crowds, as per usual, and stirring up racial division and strife and hatred, as per usual. Clip 13.
My father's from Maryland, but it's not Baltimore, it's Balmer. Balmer. And we're rebuilding a $60 zillion bridge in Balmer.
That's right.
Look, here's the deal. And so I got involved as a kid in the civil rights movement because the Philadelphians know this, at least the older ones do. Delaware was the only city in the state in the nation, Wilmington the only city in America, occupied by the military for 9 months after Dr. King was assassinated. And there's two reasons. It'd be a wasted asset if we didn't, but I want to prove to everybody there's not a thing that a white man can do that a black man can't do or do better. I mean, it's sincere. It's important to get it done. You go down the list of all the things we're talking about.
They're trying to erase black history. We're going to write black history because it's American history. What do you think he would have done on January 6th if black Americans had stormed it? Think about this. What do you think would have happened if black Americans had stormed the Capitol? I don't think he'd be talking about pardons. It's the same guy who wanted to tear gas you as you peacefully protested George Floyd's murder. Promised we'd start to reconnect black and brown and overlooked neighborhoods cut off by highways in the 60s and decades of disinvestment as a consequence of it, including here in Philly. Well, we're changed out with the Recovery Act. Right now, you see all the construction going on the highways around here.
There you see the puppet echoing the thoughts and the sentiments of the dear leader. Donald Trump wants to tear gas black people. That's right. And if they were, there were blacks among the January 6th protesters, okay? But if it was all black, Trump would be singing, never mind that blacks are turning out in droves today for Trump rallies. They have divined a crime that Trump is a racist. Use the N-word, according to Drudge. Yeah, someone from 25, 30 years ago has come forward, and this is a headline at the top of the Drudge page. He's a racist. We haven't heard that one before. They know. They just know. They can divine motives. These are the people behind these nonstop, relentless, and vicious attacks against Donald J. Trump. This is what Trump said on Bongino's show, clip 9.
This is a Biden-directed hit, this entire operation.
Well, there's no question about it. I can't mention names like you can. And you mentioned it. I didn't. But the fact is, you know, I'm gagged. They gagged me, so they're allowed to talk about me. I'm not allowed to talk about them. But this comes right out of the White House. This is the way he wants to try and win.
Comes right out of the White House. This is the way Biden wants to try to win. Just attack and destroy your opponent. Don't try to put it to the will of the people. Don't get out there and campaign. Certainly not. Nobody will show up. They don't have majority support. So get Trump is their only strategy. Again, they may be pivoting. Morning Meltdown seems to be pivoting a bit. But get Trump is the strategy. And the dear leaders, DOJ, is completely behind this. Listen to this incredible exchange between Alina Habba, she's Trump, one of Trump's attorneys, and this is a Fox News host. Fox! Shannon Bream is her name. Listen to Shannon Bream as she defends Joe Bama. Clip 3.
Listen, but the Biden administration's not responsible for this trial.
How can you say the Biden administration's not responsible for this trial?
It's a state trial. It's Alvin Bragg. Whether you think there's a political motive for him, it's not connected to the DOJ. I mean,
Shannon,
the feds passed on these election charges.
Shannon, you should look at how many logs they have of state officials, Letitia James, Fannie Willis, visiting the White House, and then tell me that this is not a Biden trial. I don't
care. The feds pass on this case is the point I'm
making. Right. The feds pass on this case. Also, DA Cy Vance passed on this case and
years
frankly,
ago, and then it came back.
And Bragg passed on this case. You know when it came back? When he decided to run for office. Mm-hmm. So tell me how that's not an indication that Joe Biden, who just sent his campaign down here with Robert De Niro yesterday, isn't a part of this. Frankly, any question that we had of that was squashed yesterday. And if you have even more concerns about whether he's involved in this, look at the fact that he is publicizing, literally publicizing, for tonight to have a speech if a verdict comes out. That's a sad state of affairs.
Just when you begin to think that maybe Fox News is waking up to this attack, there you go. Ah, this is a state trial. Doesn't have anything to do with the DOJ. I mean, listen. Here, this lawyer has to push back and say, have you looked at the White House logs? Whether it's Tish James or the lovers in Georgia or Alvin Bragg, of course they're directing this on every level. 91 felony counts, 4 separate indictments, all happening at the same time. And then Judge Mershon just randomly picked 3 times for Trump or Trump-related cases. He's the alternate judge. Never mind the 24 judges that probably wouldn't come out with jury instructions like Mershon did yesterday. But Mershon just happens to land in the perfect spot to get Trump every time. Isn't that amazing? And Weissman, for his part, he's got a man crush on him. He's got a crush on Mershon. Mershon's daughter? She's a Get Trump activist. Yeah, she's working for, what's the guy's name in the House of Representatives? And probably a lot of the other Democrats as well. It's so obvious. And Shannon Bream's there saying, listen, you've got to separate New York State from the DOJ or Joe Obama's White House. Really? Really, Shannon? What a disgrace. That's the kind of reasoning that you have. People that are so easily influenced by those that are divining crimes instead of calling them out like you should. If you had some courage. Again, I should have brought that statement that Erica Trump made yesterday or the one we played yesterday. He's right. There's a lot to it. Forget about the mistakes he's made. He's made a lot. But so has Robert De Niro. So has Judge Mershon. So has Weissman. Okay, so Donald Trump has sins. Well, we all do, don't we? But he's fighting for the truth. He's fighting for he's a patriot. And he really is, as that clip from Dennis Quaid put it yesterday. I mean, Quaid said he's really there to serve the American people. And this is what the communist leadership hates. They hate it. They want to control the people. Donald Trump wants to serve the people, just like the founders drew it up. I have more, but I want to save a little bit of time for some exciting feedback. We've got to go into tonight's performance in Fort Myers, Florida, in a wonderful, uplifted mood because it's such a hopeful message coming through from Celtic Throne every single time that they perform it. Go to CelticThrone.com if you want to secure tickets for tonight's show. There's going to be around 1,200 people, the biggest audience we've ever had for a CT performance. That's CelticThrone.com to get all the information you need to know about Celtic Throne in Fort Myers or in Sarasota on Sunday night, or in Jacksonville next Tuesday evening. When we come back, we will conclude today's show with more feedback. This feedback coming from Mobile, Alabama. just the other night. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to TrumpetDaily.com.
It's really, really good and interesting.
I think the dancing is gorgeous-tastic.
Good. Really enjoyed it.
You have a favorite part?
I'd say the last one that was intense, right before the intermission, maybe the Gale. It was really good choreography. I thought it was really good play going into intermission.
It was good.
What was your favorite part?
Probably whenever, like, the main, like, that guy went, like, up by himself.
What was your favorite part?
Oh, the war part. That was good. The boys and girls, they looked very mad and professional.
It was awesome.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Fantastic.
So, so, so good. They're so talented.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, thank you.
We loved it. We're longtime fans. This is my third show and his second, and we'll see many more.
I liked it, too.
What was your favorite part?
All the parts were really good, but my favorite part was when he jumped up and put his legs in the air. That was really cool.
I mean, it was amazing. It was a great show. We really loved it. Couldn't stop clapping.
It was good.
The McPherson School of Irish Dance Girls loved the show.
Amazingly great.
It was so good.
It was good.
She loved it.
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was awesome. The storyline was great. Picking up on, well, in my opinion, all the biblical themes, it was awesome. Didn't expect it.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
great.
From start to finish, just an amazing show, amazing performances from the musicians to the dancers. I loved it. I loved the ending. The ending was great, just with a total restoration.
It was great. I loved it. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Really enjoying it. We really had great seats, and we love it. It's great.
It was fabulous. I couldn't get over all the young talent and stuff. They were just wonderful.
Oh, I loved it. It was really energetic and really fun.
It was amazing. Brooklyn Williams was like the best.
Oh, it was great. We had no idea. We hadn't seen it before or anything, and music was good. The dancing was good. Family relationship and all sounded great. Wonderful time.
Excellent. Thank you. Very, very entertaining.
The show was great. It was a lot of energetic things.
I loved it.
It's awesome. It was really good.
It was incredible. So glad we got the chance to see it.
It was awesome. Awesome. We loved it. We got a hat and a mug. So
it was great. We really enjoyed it.
Definitely going to be coming back.
It was great. We'll come again. It was wonderful.
It was amazing. Amazing.
Wonderful. Loved it.
The show was awesome. We would come again. Recommend it to everybody.
It was great. It was very, very good.
I thought it was excellent. It was really good. Everybody, the older kids, the younger kids. I mean, the music was fantastic. Yeah, it was well worth coming.
It was great. Just kind of brighten up your day like that, though. You want to see it more.